Now, we've been really working in the Word here, and remind you again, don't forget, as you're watching live video stream, those of you that have joined us, we're so glad you're there. And but you can give at any time. While you're watching tonight, you can give at any time, and electronically, there it is on the screen, and remind you to do that. And I want to encourage all the saints of God at Rock City Church that you remember that it takes a lot to keep the church going forward, and we encourage you to be faithful. You've been so faithful in giving, and we encourage you to continue to be faithful, and don't just let it go by the wayside. Don't get sloppy or lazy with that, but let's be diligent to give and to really put it there before the Lord and really make a difference with what we do when we sow and when we give our tithes and offerings. We can change the destiny of our church. We can change the things that God wants to do with our church by being able to have the funds, just like the pavilion. It's been a wonderful thing that we've been able to do because funds came in, some extra monies came in for different things that allowed us to pull on those things and to do that. And then because the saints of God have been faithful to give. So I remind you, encourage you tonight, even be faithful, right? Tonight, make sure you do that. You sow. Amen. And so that we can be blessed. Amen. And remember to keep those in prayer that have been ill and those that have been in the hospitals. I know Faith is still in the hospital, so we need to keep her in prayer, Faith McNair. And if you have a prayer need while we're preaching tonight, I'm believing you'll get healed. Because we've been preaching about the fact that out of Mark chapter 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. I believe that God's people can and need to walk in a supernatural encounter with God and really see the miracles of God released through us, through our hands, through our anointed hands. And so I pray that you really grab that and that you be willing to pray for people that is need right now like no other time. And so make sure you do that. And we're going to preach here. Let's get ready to get in the Word. Psalm 84. Why don't we start there and read that. And then I'm going to tell you what we're going to talk about here, what I feel the Lord dropped in my heart. And I think we have some real wisdom here from the Word that we're going to really see. If you'll just come with me and allow the Word to stretch you and open you up tonight. And Psalm 84, verse 10, I'm using the New King James. I know I switched on you again, Angela, but we're using the New King James here for a little bit. So if you'll flip that over to that, that'll help. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Amen. Now, that's really a powerful scripture that we see there, and I want you to really look at it and really understand what it says, that David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Well, let me explain something to you. What David was talking about, it was I call him, and when I read that, I started laughing, and I wrote it down. David's like a spiritual bouncer, like you see in a bar or somewhere, you got the bouncer. Well, David is like the spiritual bouncer there. And he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God and than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. And it's referring to having the gates of heaven open. I'll help us look at that in a minute as we go. But I want you to really start off and be right in the right frame of mind. This is talking about having heaven open. It is about having the heavens open, the gates of heaven open. And David was saying, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. He's saying that because he's talking about worship. And for 36 years, David kept the door of heaven open through David's tabernacle. And when we study that, we begin to realize how powerful that anointing was with the Ark of the Covenant and all that was going on. And you and I need to realize the power of what David said. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. He wasn't talking about you know, being a usher at the church or keeping the door open at the church and being a servant. That's always a good thing. Thank God for those that do that. But David had a higher meaning of this. And the meaning that David had was not about just serving at the church somehow. It's the same reference that we find with Jacob. When Jacob had an encounter with God and the angels of heaven were coming from heaven down to earth. And it says that Jacob looked up and God was at the top of the ladder. See, God was keeping the heavens open. He was keeping the gates of heaven open so the floodgate of glory could come to earth. And that's really what David is celebrating. He said, I'd rather be used of God to keep heaven open so that God's glory can come to the church. And that has to do with prayer. It has to do with a lot of things. And we'll get to it in a second here. But this is a reference of the gate of heaven. And as I said, Jacob experienced the same thing when he saw God standing at the top there of that ladder. Look at Psalm 24 and verse 7. And it says, we are God's gatekeepers. I want you to hear that. We are God's gatekeepers. Now, I've been talking about gates a lot. And lift up your heads, all ye gates. And how many of you know, it's saying here, lift up your head, all you gates. How many of you know gates don't have heads? Yeah. But you and I need to realize that reference is there talking to us. Lift up your heads, all you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Hallelujah. Yeah. And that's important for you to see that. And I want you to hear that scripture and get a hold of that. And let me explain it. You know, it's important that you get a real fix on that, that you really, really lock in on that, and that you understand, lift up your heads. Oh, you gates, you're the gates. You're the gates, saints. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors. You and I are the doors, and we're the gates. I mean, Jesus is called the door. And he's referred to as the door. And you and I, in this scripture, we're to lift up our heads, O ye gates. It's talking about authority. Lift up the head, Jesus, O you gates. And you and I allow the King of glory to come in. When we do this, we're going to become spiritual doorstops. Yeah. And you can take the scripture off, please. Thank you. And we're going to become spiritual door stops that we can allow the heaven to stay open. Your prayers will keep heaven open. Your giving keeps heaven open. Your serving keeps heaven open. These are different things that you and I, as gates, we are the gates. We are the heads. And we're the gates and the doors that'll keep the glory. How many of you know, I say it often when I'm talking about husbands and wives and family, and I say that dads hold the hinges of the door in their hand. When they're like two hinges, and they hold the gates, they hold the door, what lets in blessing and what keeps blessing from coming in. And so we really need to get this tonight. It's a spiritual application. That's why this is a teaching, and a teaching like this that would dig in the word and get a hold of what David was saying. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. He's talking about, oh, lift up your heads, all ye gates and all you doors. And so I want you to see, you can be the gatekeeper for the house of God, for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God. You're the gatekeeper. Now, a gatekeeper had responsibility. He had keys. Now, you got to get that. The gatekeeper kept the keys. There was a gatekeeper at the temple, and he had the keys, and you'll never guess where he put them. He had a strap on his shoulder, and he put the keys right up here. And Isaiah said that the government of God is upon his shoulders. And so God has given us spiritual understanding that the rule of God is happening through the church because God gave us the keys. Jesus said, I've come to give you the keys of the kingdom. Keys that unlock arenas of darkness. Keys that unlock financial prosperity and blessing. Keys that unlock joy and life in you. Keys are important, and God has given you and I the keys of the kingdom. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. At this point, whoever's in the audio, I hear nothing from the audience. So if you will work on that, it sure helped me. I'd like to hear them say amen once in a while. Thank you so much. And those of you watching, this is a reversal. I'm usually there. And during the coronavirus, in the beginning of it, I'm at church preaching and they're all at home. Now I'm at home and they're preaching. I'm at home. I'm in a little vacation place I have. And we're just taking a little bit of a break here because there's some great things in store for where the church is going and what God's about to do. And I have a number of conferences that I'm virtually doing and things like that. And so I'm here working on those things and getting myself in the place that I can be as effective as possible. So those of you that are viewing by virtual, that you need to know that. I don't usually come to church with these two pictures in the background, but I chose those pictures because my wife painted them years ago. And so she's a very gifted woman and very artistic. And so those are my background that I chose because she is just a joy to me. And so we're just happy to be able to show off her great talents. Amen. Now, let me just take you a little further. When you look at Psalm 24, I started with verse 7, but I want to jump backwards to verse 6. So if you would, let's go to verse 6. It says, such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. You see, David brings in God of Jacob like I brought in Jacob and his experience with the ladder. This is Jacob, the generation of those that seek him. And how many of you know the generation of those that seek him, who seek his face? Gatekeepers always will see the face of God. Gatekeepers are the ones that see people right when they walk in. And see, it said there in the Psalm, verse 7, it said the King of Glory is coming in these gates. Put it up there. And it says, and the King of Glory shall come in through these gates. And see, when you raise your hands and you were worshiping tonight, you are a gatekeeper. You're there and you're opening the gates of heaven over the house of God, over the city of Baltimore, over our nation, over America. You're opening the gates, and the first person that you get to see come in the gate is the King of Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's important. Amen. Now, we've got to become doorstops, and if you understand when I use that analogy, is so that we can keep the door open. We got to keep the door open, and we've got to work on that, because what happens is we have a constant fickleness of people come to church and then they kind of take a sabbatical from God. I don't mean vacation, but they take a sabbatical from God and all of those things. And when that happens, heaven gets closed. And when heaven is closed, it's real hard to get a breakthrough. And the church needs a breakthrough right now. That's why on September the 13th, we are going to be fasting and praying for America, because we're doing what God spoke to me from the book of Nehemiah. We're going to have a 52 days that took Nehemiah to build the wall. And we're going to have a period of time from September 13th to November the 3rd. And we're going to have that time to pray and to really seek God about America and about the choices that we have. I mean, you know, the choices couldn't be any clearer than they are right now. Yeah. The choices are very, very clear. Mm-hmm. And we need to make wise decisions. We need to make good decisions here. And the future of America, and in many cases, the future of the world, mm-hmm. is really hinging on us making the right decisions for this election. I just noticed today that there was a great celebration of victory. President Trump was able to coordinate a time for the President of Israel and the UAE, UAE, right, United Arab Emirates. And what's happened is they've joined together and they've come back to be able to set up a relationship and begin to work together. It's a major breakthrough, Saints. Yeah. That is a, in that part of the country, that is one of the biggest things that's happened in the last couple of decades. And it's really, really important that you follow the thought of that. And they all announced today that, you know, how President Trump is the one who suggested that they do it. He's the one that was on the phone with them and helped them do this. And so that's important you to know that the president right now, in the midst of all that's going on with the pandemic and everything else, he's still working in a global way to help America continue to be a broker for peace and a broker for stability around the world. So those are important things for you to see. Amen. Now, I want you to go a little further. David kept, as I said a minute ago, David kept the door open for 36 years. He brought in the Ark of the Covenant. You remember the story? And Uzzah touched it. I just shared it the other day. And then when the ark, the cart had stumbled, he was trying to bring in some new thing instead of coming back to the original plan that God had, and it's called due order. There's a due order in God. It means there's a divine orchestrated order that God sets things in motion, and that order has to be followed. If you don't follow that order, then things get out of tilt. And God's blessing is lifted if you don't follow that order. Yes. And that's why it's important when we worship, and that's why it's important we tithe and give offerings and prayer and fasting and all the things we do, worship, all those things, it's very important that we follow the due order as our forefathers before us taught us in the word, Paul said. And so if we understand that, then we'll follow David's pattern for 36 years. Now, here's a contrast. Lot, just use Lot for an example. Lot, on a contrast, it says that in Genesis 19:1, he sat at the gate of Sodom. Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. David learned to be the gatekeeper to keep heaven open. And we know what Lot fell into with all the sin and all the craziness. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 49 and 50. Ezekiel 16, 49 and 50. And it says, look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, abundance of idleness, and neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor or the needy. She was haughty, and she was she was totally walking out of a life with Christ. I mean, she was. It says that she was committed abominations before Him, and she was just Sodom was just walking contrary to everything that God had. And you need to see that, and you need to understand what that's meaning there. And they were haughty and committed abominations. Amen. And that's important for you to grasp that. And I want to make a point on that, and I want you to listen to me, and I want you to hear that. And you look at that scripture of Lot. Lot put himself in the worst place in the secular world. And how many of you know we can keep the door of hell open, or we can keep the door of heaven open? Yes. And we have to come to the place as a church that we know that our role is through prayer and intercessory prayer and faithfulness to the word and study the word and evangelize and worship and all these things. These are what's holding the door open so that God, you might say, well, I don't know that there's much blessing going on in the world. Yes, there is. If God took his hand off the world right now, the destruction would overwhelm people. Yeah. And there's threatenings of earthquakes everywhere. There's all kinds of dilemmas of just natural resources. Natural sources taking place. We need to know the God that we serve, if we'll hold heaven open, yes, he will keep us in these trials. He'll keep us through the coronavirus. He'll keep us into 2021. You know, some people today talk like 2021 ain't even coming. It's coming, saints. Hallelujah. It's going to come. And it's not going to be like 2020. It's going to be different, and we have to pray that way, believe that way, and stand that way. But we must realize the word tonight, that it's important that we keep the heavens open. You'll keep the heavens open over your personal life. Yeah. You see, when you're not really worshiping and you're not in prayer, the heavens close up, and you're like Lot. You're sitting at the gate of Sodom. You're there. You're subject to the filth of the world, the pollutions of your mind, the pollutions of all the world system. That's why we must keep heaven open, so God's glory and God's blessing shall come on us and cause us to be able to be overcomers and finish the race. Amen? Yeah. And so it's imperative that we do that. Very, very important. And somebody found the door, and you and I need to know that they propped it open with their life for us. Somebody before you found the door of heaven, as David was talking about, and they wedged themselves in there by sacrificing their life, and they got heaven open so that you could find God. Amen. Now, that might have been a grandparent, that might have been an uncle and an aunt, that might have been somebody in your family that you don't even know, but they, maybe back generations even, they slipped in and they got the heavens open so that blessings should come on your life. And I thank God, I've said it a lot of times, a little woman, she prayed for me, and she prayed for me since I was 5 years old. And that woman just died about 5 or 6 years ago now, maybe it's 7 years ago. And but that woman prayed for me every single day. She kept heaven open over my life so that God could flood me with his plans and his purpose. I mean, if you hear that tonight. I mean, oh, somebody's kept heaven open for you. Yeah. They put their body in the wedge of the door, and they kept the door open so God could change your life. Yeah. I was talking to a man the other day here, and he said that his father had, when he was a knucklehead, his father had continually prayed for him and stood with him and was believing with him till God came in his life and changed him. How many of you hear that tonight? How many of you know you could be the doorstop for somebody else to come into the kingdom? Amen. You see, that's what God's looking for. He's looking for you to be that doorstop that you can say, I'll hold the door open, run in. Amen. And somebody needs to say amen.
Amen.
Now, Psalm 134, verse 1 and 2, Psalm 134, verse 1 and 2, all your servants of the Lord who by night stand in the house of the Lord, verse 2, will lift up hands in their sanctuary and bless the Lord. Now that's an important thing to see. You stand in the house of the Lord in the night season. You stand in the night season and you lift up your hands. That's what verse 1 said. You stand, not verse 3, you stand in there in verse 1, and you behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Saints, it's not talking about chronos time of night. It's talking about in the day of darkness, all the servants of the Lord, who by night, that's important that you realize You can keep heaven open when you stand in the midst of darkness and you declare God and his kingdom and you worship God and you magnify God and you exalt God. You keep God's heavens. Like Archbishop said to me years ago, he said, I don't pray in the day. I pray at night and I sleep in the daytime. And you and I need to know that wickedness is at its worst. Look what all these riots happen in Seattle and all these places, always at nighttime. Yeah. Daytime, it's all nice. Daytime's good. They get into Chicago and places and they revolt it, and it's always in the dark. It's always in the night. So you and I, again, when we come before God as doorkeepers, gatekeepers, we open up the heavens, we push back the door so the glory of God can come in to Baltimore, to the nation of America, and we need to realize this is that day to keep heaven open over this city and over this region. How do you know? We need to keep heaven open over the governor, over the mayors, over all these legislators. We need to ask God to keep the heavens open so that mercy and grace will come through. Yeah. And you need to hear that tonight. Now, to be a doorkeeper, there's some violent forces against the door. How many of you know, we've been watching on TV and all, and we see the riots, and we see how these store owners have put up these gate-like doors, and they'll slide them across, and these guys go in and break them down and tear them up and open them up and get in. They run a car through one and just to break in and do all the violence and looting. And we need to get this. The doorkeeper, to be a doorkeeper, there's going to be violence and violent forces that come against the door that you're trying to keep open. Here's what you'll need to see. Matthew 11, 12, and to understand it, to enter the as the prop or prop the door open and open the gate will take some violence. So it's not only violence against the gate, it's also you're got to have to be violent. You have to rise up in a violent attitude. And that's the kind of prayer that's not passive. That's the kind of prayer that's aggressive, that really is a violent prayer. And it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And from the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Two different setups. The kingdom of heaven is suffering violence, and the violent will take the kingdom of heaven by force. We need to understand there's a battle plan there. Go on and look at the next verse. The next verse. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Amen. Why don't you take the scripture off the screen and don't put it back up there again for a minute. Thank you. I'll tell you when I want you to put it up. Thank you so much. And it said, from the time John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. I'm reading it from the God's Word Translation. God's Word Translation says, from the time of John the Baptizer until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcibly advancing, and forceful people have been seizing it. How do you hear me? How do you know we need to get off of this lazy thing that happens, you know, when you get shut in your house and you get shut down and you can't go running around, you get lazy. And we need to break that off and say, Father, in Jesus' name, activate my faith, activate my attitude to be forcefully praying. Some of us need to pray until people can hear you. Like Daniel, it said he opened the windows up and he prayed out loud so people could hear him. And you and I need to have effective prayer, a prayer that is not some just casual or some lazy kind of thing that we just kind of, you know, mumble along. I mean, we need to become violent warriors and begin to pray till we shake things loose. How many of you hear that? How many of you know right now, saints, our nation is at the brink of the most important decision ever face. Yes. It's going to determine everything. And you and I need to get that. We need to grasp that. And we are called push back heaven. Open it up. When you worship, your hands are up in the air and you can use them to push back darkness and to open the heavens. Amen. And it's important to see that forcefully advancing and forceful people have been seizing it. Now, this has been the driving force behind the martyrs and missionaries and pioneers and patriots throughout the ages, this kind of aggressive, forceful type of approach. And it's important to get that because the power of consecration and the power of consecration to principles and the willingness to sacrifice and to strive to suffer and even die for a cause is becoming more real now than it's ever been. Yes. Do you know that I've been in contact and working with some people, the bombing that happened in Lebanon? How many of you could wave your hand at me and say that you heard about that or you saw it on the news? Yeah. Did you do that? Okay, now open the lens up, guys. You don't have to just keep going back and forth. Open the lens up a little bit. You can see the whole group. Amen. Now, in that process, what I want you to understand is this. Do you know that about 85% of all those that were in that area are Christians? So the ones that were displaced and the ones that were killed were Christians. Almost 85%. We have a brother that works with U.S. Cal and iCal, and we've been working together. They've been raising money for this guy to try to get money to him, and they have to be careful because one of the terrorist groups there in Lebanon tries to, you know, get it out of the banks before they can get it. So there's a way to send it, and I can't talk about it publicly. But there's a way to send funds in there, and it's to help these Christians. How many of you know, saints, there's an attack against Christians? And we need to get that. And 85% of the people who were killed or who were displaced and out of their homes, like 300,000 homes were destroyed. Those were Christians. And you and I need to be so aware of that so we can pray for these people. We're going to need to see that more often. We're going to need to understand that. But you see, this whole idea is the driving force that's always been through history with our martyrs and our missionaries and the pioneers and patriots throughout the ages. It's always been this principle, the power of consecration to principles. And I'm gonna read something from a book I have about martyrs and about some people have gone through some things. And just to help make the point here tonight, just follow me as I try to read this for a few minutes. In October of 1977, in three prison cells in Germany, a suicide pact was carried out. Now the first stories that I'm gonna read to you, these are secular. These are people who did some crazy in my world, in your world, but I want to show you how willing these people are for their cause. Shouldn't the Christian be equally as aware and committed to the causes of Christ? Yeah. Now listen, and it says that the three cells in Germany, a suicide pact was carried out. Three terrorist leaders of the notorious Bader Menendorf gang exchanged secret communications. They agreed to take their own lives at a specific time. In spite of the tightest security, they ingeniously devised a mechanism for self-murder, and suddenly they were gone. The international press reported the news. Their deaths were the talk of the hour, but their triple suicide was more than just another grisly story. It was orchestrated to carry a clear message to broadcast a strong signal to their colleagues who had just suffered defeat in another land. We have sealed, this is what they said. Listen to what they said now. We have sealed our mission with our lives. That's their mission. If you were going in the mission field, you'd be saying these same words. We have sealed our mission with the sacrifice of our lives. You go and do the same. He was telling the disciples of this terrorist group, you go do the same. Take courage and fight to the death. Listen to what they said at the end. We have given you a beacon of hope. All this is for the kingdom of hell. How do you hear that?
Yes.
Every single thing that they were talking about was their dedication to Satan and to advance the kingdom of hell. Should not the church, God's people, be this committed at least?
Yes.
And then look at this. There was a self-proclaimed soldiers from the Irish Republic Army, literally starving themselves to death in a British prison cell because they believed they had to stand up for their rights. They withered away to nothing, passed from this world for good, for their vision, for their dream, their goal. And it was not a dream given by God, yet they perished for it just the same. These men, the Irish men, like the German men, these terrorists, they were doing what they did with everything that's in them. And I'm telling you, the church must come to a new place because, saints, if the elections go in a different direction, and I'll be candid in my observation, if Donald Trump doesn't win, we are going to have a rough ride. And I'm just being honest with the saints. Everything I know in God is an indicator. It'll be from Wall Street and it'll be right down the line. Things are really, I think you might have heard today, the vice president candidate for presidency, Biden, he announced today that he is wanting everyone mandatory to wear a mask for the next 3 months. And look, saints, everybody can do what they have to do, but there's not everybody that can do that.
Yes.
Not everybody can wear a mask. And we need to understand we're hidden in some very strange areas. That's why God keeps giving me these messages. That's why God keeps speaking to me about building the wall in Nehemiah, about these very important things, because we are going to have to get in the right positions for what God wants to do. If Trump wins, we're going to have to pray even harder because the enemy will rise up like never before. And so I'm telling you prophetically, I'm telling you, this is not the day to just sit in church and sing kumbaya. This is the time to get serious about our prayers and about our commitment to the Lordship of Jesus. Now listen to this. You and I could say fanaticism. That's what that was about. I don't know. I want you to hear it like this. I like what this author said. It was a total consecration to a wrong principle, complete dedication to a misguided vision. And that's the truth. That is the truth. And here's another story. Nathan Hale, some of you know this story. He is a daring spy caught behind enemy lines. And the next day when they caught him, they hung him the very next day without a trial. His last words are a powerful testimony to what it means to give yourself to a cause. I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country. He gladly would have done it again if he could have. And then there was the battle cry, which again, history, those of you that were allowed to study history, and then there was the battle cry for freedom sounded by Patrick Henry, the brilliant lawyer and orator, taking a firm public stand and no hope of turning back. He said, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. And he wasn't even thinking of the age to come. He meant liberty in his life, in the present world, for himself, for his family, for his people. It was important enough to live for. It was important enough to die for. Mm-hmm. And this has been the driving force, as I said a minute ago, for many, many martyrs. Let me give you two more examples. I hope you understand tonight. We need more men in our generation like David Bernard. He pushed the frail, dying body mile after mile, having the coughing and spitting up of blood, drenched by his by thunderstorms. He rode his horse by day, and he soaked his fever sweat as he slept in the wild at night. But there were more American Indians to be reached. So onward and onward he went, bemoaning his lack of zeal all the way. This man brought thousands of Native Americans to Christ, and he did it single-handedly with one other person, and they rode across the country in the worst conditions you could imagine. These were people that made a decision in life. I choose to make a difference. I choose. Now, let me tell you, coming up soon in the next week or two, I'm going to preach about heaven. I have not preached about heaven in a long time, maybe 5-10 years. But I'm going to preach a little message about heaven because I want people to understand. Here's my point now. Listen good. If we believe to be absent from the bodies and be present with the Lord, then what do we have to fear? We don't need to fear death. Death is a graduation. So I'm not saying run out and commit suicide. I'm not saying do something stupid. But what I am saying is, if we'll let the last enemy, death, be defeated, we'll become bolder than we've ever been. Then the church can really make a difference, saints. Then we can have an impact. If not, we're going to be the prisoners of this new world order that's being set up, this whole new world order of structure, and we're going to be the prisoners of that. And I'm praying, I'm hoping you're praying that we're going to see a breakthrough, because we're going to put our hands up and we're going to say, Lord, open the heavens. Will you do that with me right now? Put your hands up and just say, Lord, open the heavens right now. Come on, pray it. Pray it. Father, in Jesus' name, open the heavens right now. And we don't just raise our hands as an exercise. Lord, this is faith. Faith is the substance. You need to know faith has real substance to it. It is something you can stand on. Peter stood on water because his faith caused substance to be there. So today, tonight, we declare that the heavens are open over Rock City Church, over Baltimore, over America. God, we open them. We push back the clouds of darkness, and we declare, God, that your kingdom will come forth, and there'll be visitations in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let me give you this other one to think about. Here's one. It's a woman. Her name was Gladys Allard. Allard, I'm not saying it right. It's A-Y-L-W-A-R-D. And the British housemaid who gave her life for China is the story. She was rejected for service by the board of the China Inland Mission because of serious learning disability. She saved her pennies, and at the age of 28, she packed two suitcases, a bedroll, a bag clanking with a small stove, pots, and some pans, and she set out for her goal. By train through Europe, into Russia, through Siberia, and unfortunately, she was heading straight into a border dispute between Russia and China. Entering a literal war zone, the train she was aboard, filled with Russian soldiers, suddenly stopped amid the sound of distant gunfire. She was told she had to get out of the train. The ride was over. Alone in Siberia, a single woman in a totally strange land in the middle of winter. She began the long walk back to the nearest city. The Siberian wind blew the powdered snow around her heels, and she carried a suitcase in each hand, one still decorated with kettle and saucepan. And around her shoulder, she wore her fur rug. By dawn, after having taken a 2-hour rest night to her little alcohol stove, she could see the lights of Cheetah in the distance. And there, something happened. Undaunted, she continued on her way, having to go through Manchuria. And then finally, she made it all the way to Japan. I'm telling you, Saints, she went from Europe through Russia, Siberia, into China, to all the way to get to Japan. Think of that. The single woman who even doubted she was God's first choice for the job. They said she didn't have a high intelligence and that she could never do this. She couldn't join their missionary group. And they told her there was somebody else and she wasn't the first. And God's first choice, though, it must have been a man, a wonderful man, a well-educated man. I don't know what happened. Perhaps he died. Perhaps he wasn't willing, she thought. And God looked down and saw this woman, Gladys. This courageous soul actually moved behind enemy lines during Japan's bombing of China, ministering to the needs of the villagers and supernaturally protecting her family of nearly 100 adopted children. Listen to this. She had over 100 adopted children. God grant us noble hearts like hers. How many know we need to be in this place to see the kind of heroes? If you read about George Whitefield, if you read about John Wesley, if you read about these people and how they traveled, John Wesley and them traveled 280 miles on horseback in 6 days just to preach the gospel, just to get out and preach the gospel. I want to read something to you by a guy that I think you'll find very interesting. And let me pull it up real quick and see if I can't pin it out and read it to you. Here it is. Listen to this. Believe me, it is not with folded hands and drowsy consciences and hearts full of cares of this life, but denying ourselves, taking up the cross, bearing the reproach, and by following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, that we shall enter the kingdom. William C. Burns. William C. Burns. This man had an understanding that it was going to take a committed life of the cross to really, really to do what God was calling him to do. And I just want to challenge you tonight. I'm going to go a little further here. God is not impressed with our great words. How many of you know our great words are wonderful, they're fine and all that, you know, at times, but really God's not impressed. And I'm aware that there are some words being said and words that spread out there and in the secular world, and those words are devilish words, and they're bringing pain to people and confusion to people. And we need to understand the enemy has opened his mouth and he's vomiting out. The Bible says in Revelation that the Antichrist was given permission to wage war with the saints, and war has been declared with the saints of God. I can tell you that, and we need to be aware of it. And God is not impressed with a lot of words, and big speeches don't influence him. Sensational claims do not fool him. He only cares for truth. Yes. I saw a video the other night. I watched a video of 10 large churches in America. And they took some things and they brought about some understanding. And saints, I got to tell you, we need to really realize that it's not going to ever be the size of a church. It's going to be the size of God in that church. Yes. How much God is in the church? How much is God allowed to work in your life? How much of God is really in your prayer life and in your daily life with him? How much of God do you bring to the church service tonight? How much of God are you bringing to your job and your family? How much of God are you bringing into what God's called you to do? That's really where it's going to count, saints. We need to be able to believe that we can bring God into every circumstance. We can open heaven tonight over everything in our lives. We can easily deceive others and even deceive ourselves. But we shall never deceive the Lord. Can you hear that? Yes. That's important now. We can deceive ourselves and go along saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, everything's good. And you know, you can have the look, you know, you can carry that on, boy, and you can look just, you know, pious and everything, but saints, if God is not there, if God's not gathering with you, then saints, you just are walking along by yourself. Yes. I love the story in the book of Acts, the two guys walking on the Emmaus Road, and Jesus came along and started walking with them. That's what we need. We need Jesus to come along and walk in the road of our life every single day. So everywhere we go, that we bring God to the meetings, we bring God to our job, we bring God to the store, we bring God into these things. And saints, we have the ability tonight. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2. I'll read a little bit to you, verse 18. And verse 8. I think that's correct. Verse 8 and then verse 12. I need to see that scripture on there now so that I can see if that's right. Revelation 2, 8 and Revelation 12. And the angel of the church, yeah, Smyrna, write, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. Go on. Yeah. And the angel of the church, no, I'm sorry, go on and verse 9, okay? I did say we would go to verse 12, but I know your works, tribulation, poverty, but you are rich, and I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not. But, next verse, you are the synagogue of Satan, he says. Look at this now. And go on, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. You see, he tells them in advance, be faithful to the actual point of death, but I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. In other words, the resurrection of Christ, you're going to be alive. You're going to be alive with God. And you need to get that down in your heart. And he's faithful. God is. And he's faithful to all these areas. Look at chapter 3 and verse 14. Look at chapter 3 and verse 14. Just picking up a couple of these. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea, write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness. How do you know Jesus is the true witness? He's faithful. The beginning of the creation of God. So we have God announcing who he is. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. Okay. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. Have you hear that? Yes. And then it says, because I know, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, do you not know that you're wretched, miserable, and poor? Go on. Blind and naked? Hello? I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich with white garments, and you may be clothed with the shame, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with salve, that you may see. Now you move the scripture off the screen. Let me just say this to you. One of the things that in that whole section of Revelation, it never starts with God saying, I think. He says, I know. I know who you are, he says to the church in Smyrna. I know you. I know who you are. God says that as a matter of fact. He doesn't say, I think. He says, I know. Yeah. God knows and he says that. And when you look at the church again, Revelation 3:1, they thought they were being big shots. And he says, I know your deeds. I have a reputation. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. He said, I know you. I know your deeds. You know, we're at a time where we have to stop going around guessing about what God is doing and realize we can hear and he'll say, I know. Trust God. He says, I know. I know what you're going through. I know what you need. I know that you have a need before you even ask for it. I know every need you have, God said, before you ever even ask. He says, I know it. And we need to grab that and begin to say, thank you, Lord. You know what I need. You know when I need it. And you know what I'm supposed to have in my life. Lord, bring those things into my life. Yes. And let me just take you to the last piece here. To be used to maintain the gates of heaven. And I make these short tonight, and I did last week as well. I make these a little bit short because they are a little bit challenging the way that they're set up, and I'm trying to work it out. But on my end, it's a little bit challenging because of the way it's being set up. So we'll just keep having to work on it. And so I've made them shorter so that I can move on and just go ahead and pray with you, okay? And but listen to this. To be used to maintain the gates of heaven, we must prop the door open with the sacrifice of our lives. I read that to you about all these other people who sacrificed their lives. To be a doorkeeper in the house of God all the days of your life, like David said, I'd rather be the doorkeeper and the gates of God. I'd rather be there to keep heaven open and keep the door of God open. David was talking about bringing the ark back into the tabernacle. You and I can bring the glory, the anointing, the ark of God into the house of God. So we must be willing to hear the truth. How many know there's difficult words right now, and sometimes these words are challenging that we have to hear. Yeah. But saints, I can tell you, we must hear these words. We must hear that we are not, we must hear like the book of Revelation there. We're not doing what we should be doing in a lot of cases. And we need to really bring our game up. We need to decide to pray and really, really get a hold of God. There's prayer in the mornings. Those of you watching the live video stream, you can join us on Monday mornings, Wednesday morning, and you can join us on Friday morning. And that's right at 7:30 for about 15 to 20 minutes. We'd love to have you join us with prayer. You can also give tonight, and we want to encourage you to give. We ask the church, the Rock City Church folks that are watching this live video stream, we encourage you to give, as well as our visitors. And then remind you, if you go to a church that's not Rock City Church, please give your tithe to that church. But if you want to give an offering because you've been watching tonight and you were blessed with this short message, it's important, saint. It's not the volume, it's having the word that God wants us to have. And this is what I heard God say. This is what I felt God gave me to share and be able to put it and bring it into this setting, because we need to hear the word. Why don't you stand to your feet, and I'm going to pray with you. Stand to your feet tonight, and I'm going to pray.